Welcome, travelers. Hey, come in. Take a seat and pour yourself a drink as you listen to Not Just NPCs Podcast. Here's your hosts, your guides, if you will, Krios and Sprocket.
Welcome back to another episode of Not Just NPCs Podcast. I'm your host, Krios, joined always by my co-host, Sprocket.
Hello.
Curse of Strahd update. Let's see. You guys had your dinner.
Yep.
And we meet every 2 weeks. So you guys had your dinner. I think that was the last episode that I was editing. We had briefly talked about going into the dinner.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know if the past two episodes, if we ever hit on it or not earlier, too.
We did. We talked about how last episode, party sizes, we did like the turn system for talking to each guest at the dinner table and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
To make it more controlled and more cinematic in its own way.
Yep, I remember that now. Yeah, tonight we meet again to continue exploring the castle. And I believe we'll have all of our party too.
Yeah, everyone's going to be there. So that's going to be exciting to get more input on, like, should we go here? Should we press our luck? Should we piss off whatever's behind door number one or door number two?
Should you go back and get that amulet?
Oh, I feel like one of our party members.
Oh, yeah. The one that was missing.
Is updated on the amulet. We'll desperately want to go back. So I'm already prepared mentally.
We found, at least I found, and I shared it with you, an article on books that Wizards of the Coast is going to be releasing this year. It sounds like these are all of them that they're going to be doing. I could be wrong, and obviously things could change. The release dates could easily change. What's in the books, all that kind of stuff. But the latest article that we found, it was like a week ago that it was released, January 28th. I believe there's 5 books they're going to be releasing throughout the span of this year. And I think we'll dive into those and give our thoughts on what we think is going to look like and what we hope for. Usually every year they post a campaign book. For instance, Curse of Strahd, Wild Beyond the Witchlight, those type of books. They give you a campaign to basically play. It sounds like they're not going to do one this year because of the way that they wrote the 3 handbooks and the way that they're going to be releasing these next 5 books. They're going to give you kind of starting ideas for campaigns. And they also, I heard, they want to give people a chance to wrap up campaigns. They want to give a more realistic timeline for people to play because they know people can't play every single day. I mean, we started Curse of Strahd about a year ago. Then they came out with Vecna, Eve of Ruin, which I was going to intertwine and go right into after Strahd. But at this point, we're behind and we're like, okay, we want to do Spelljammer now.
Yeah, yep, true.
And well, I don't know if we'll come back to that Eve of Ruin or not. Probably in the future. Yeah,
which would be awesome. I mean, of course, any of the campaigns, I think all of us together would be a blast. But yeah, it's like, it's one of those things. It's like campaigns can take a while anyways, because like you said, not everyone can meet every day or even every week. Like us, we can't meet every week. Then you throw in holidays, then you throw in big family life changes, like new babies, you know, life happens, and then can't wrap up those campaigns nice and neat within a year before the next hot book comes out, which I'm still glad they bring out books so often. I mean, it's really cool, and it keeps, even though D&D has been out forever and you can make up your own stuff and there's still old stuff you could still use, it's nice that Wizard of Coast actually keeps coming out with books and campaigns and stuff to try to keep it fresh, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Even though there's like a billion amount of content out there for them to, I mean, not just them as in Wizard of Coast, but like players to pull from between old stuff, making up stuff, whatever. There's also the new stuff that Wizard of the Coast brings out. So you kind of have a plethora of things to pick from in order to make a campaign or add to your campaign. I just think that's really cool. I really like that idea. It's nice that they, I'm sure it's like probably one of their main cash cows, which is why they put so much into it. But it's nice as a player to be like, oh, well, we've got about 1,000 different ways to play this game if we want, which is, amazing. And they keep updating it, which is nice, in my opinion.
Yeah, one of the books they're releasing, it looks like it's the next book after the Monster Manual. They have a release date of July 8th, 2025. Granted, of course, that could change. And it's called Dragon Delves. It was previously called unnamed. They didn't have a name for it. But it was a book about dragon anthology. And now they've decided to name it Dragon Delves. Based on the article that we have, it looks like it's going to feature 10 short adventures, each that will have a different type of chromatic or metallic dragon. Three campaign options will be provided in the anthology to link together the adventures. Not every adventure pits players against dragons, especially as the adventures range from levels 1 to 12. So it sounds like these adventures are going to be relatively short, utilize the prep style that we see in the Dungeon Master Guide, the new one.
Mm-hmm. Which is fun, because that makes it, you know, one-shot-ish or even, like, just really short campaigns, which I don't think a lot of people do. Well, I don't know. I can't speak for everyone. I don't know. In my experience, I don't hear about that very often, people doing, like, shorter campaigns. Like I said, just, like, a one-shot. It only runs for, like, 6 months or something, and then that's it.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're trying to prep to be more, like, manageable time-wise, which is really nice for, you know, like you said, like, busy adults, you know. Everyone doesn't have time to sit down and do it. Plus, it's fun because delves, for all you people who play World of Warcraft out there, delves are also like mini dungeons in WoW. So again, if you don't have like a party of five to go spend like half an hour to an hour to do a dungeon, you can do a delve, which is solo or with a friend, and they take like 10, 15 minutes. You just run through, have like a nice little adventure, and you're done. So it's kind of nice to see that terminology also kind of go into D&D where it's like, oh, delves, it's like a cute little campaign, you know. It's like, go fight a dragon and then be done for the week or whatever, you know. It's kind of nice that to have it a little more miniaturized sometimes than just two-year campaigns.
Okay, I'm glad you know what a delve is, because I did not. I had no idea. I'm like, dragon delve, so okay. Interesting name.
Yeah, like a mini dive, like a little
okay. Delve, so being like, not a one shot, but like a more like a 3-shot, 4-shot type of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah, okay. yeah, exactly. Like unless you start out at 20, it's like you may not hit 20 of this, but you know, maybe you might hit like a level, maybe two, but other than that, basically it's over, okay. Kind of thing. So that's really cool.
10 short adventures. How many chromatic and metallic dragons are there? Are there like 5 of each? I wonder.
Oh, I have no idea.
I'm wondering if they're going to include every single one or not.
I would hope so. If they're going to drop the full lore of the dragons and anthology in here, I would hope it'd be a complete guide, because that would be awesome all on its own.
There's 5 chromatic dragons, red, blue, green, black, and white. And then your metallic dragons is also 5, copper, brass, silver, gold, and bronze.
Cool. Okay.
I'm assuming each little delve will have one of those dragons in it.
Yeah, like your party confronting each one and the challenges for each type of dragon and how different they are. That's cool.
They said 3 campaign options will be provided in the anthology to link together the adventures. It sounds like there's a campaign in the book that's not fully fleshed out that you can link together all of these. And there's 3 different campaigns to do that, maybe. Or I wonder if it's, hey, levels 1 to 3, use this little campaign delve that we made, levels you know, 5 to whatever 7, and however you split up 1 to 12 3 ways. Yeah. I guess 4, 1 to 4, 5 to 8, 9 to 12.
That would be cool though. Get a little party together and be like, you have to go take on this type of dragon. And be like a rare dragon that most people don't see or something. And the party has to figure it out as they're going through like the delve, maybe leading up to the dragon's like lair.
Yeah, and that
would be cool.
Some of the dragons too, like the red dragon, the blue dragon, those chromatic dragons, those are typically evil dragons. Where the metallic dragons, the copper, brass, silver, gold, and bronze, they aren't necessarily evil. I mean, we saw that when we watched secret level, the D&D episode, the dragon that was in there. That was a gold dragon, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, he was. He was awesome.
Yeah, and he wasn't evil. And so I'm wondering if, because you think a dragon, oh, I'm going to fight this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if there's going to be 5 levels that you get to fight the dragon, and then 5 that the dragon helps you in some way fight something else.
Or you saving them. Maybe you have to save one. That'd be cool. Yeah, I love that. I also love the idea that in the book, too, because you're talking about the anthology of the dragons, I love the idea that they sit in the back, there's going to be an art section for 50 years of D&T. Or D&D. I love that. I love the idea that, because there's so much awesome art for D&D, of course, over the generations of just people's imaginations and getting to play, they get to put that down on paper, then actually incorporate that more into everyday books. I mean, of course, there's art books you can go buy, but just to have that in more of the actual player books, I think that's so cool.
Yeah, in the article here, they show us 3 pictures of dragons, and it looks like the artists that are going to, at least 3 of them, I don't know if there's going to be more or not, Luke Eidensink, Dominic Mayer, and Ed Kwong. And they each have a different style, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's a white dragon that we see in the first one.
Yeah.
And then there's, I think that's a black dragon. Or is it green?
Yeah, I think he's green. Well, green dragons are all poison and disease-based. Okay. So I would automatically assume he's a green if he's got all the green vapor and stuff around him.
Yeah, I have no idea what the third image is because it's a black and white image.
It's pencil. Yeah, it's pencil. I love that. That's so cool.
Tyranny of Dragons? Do you know anything about that?
I very little. I know a little bit.
Okay, I want to say it dived into like more of like lore on the dragons and stuff. I'm not positive.
I think it did. Because that was really big with, you had to know more about dragon lore. Because that circled around, oh my gosh, what's his name?
My you brain got is this. Blanking out. You can do it.
His name is...
Who are you trying to think of?
Oh my gosh, the dragon from Secret Level with the 5 heads.
Tiamat.
Tiamat. The whole book's supposed to be around Tiamat.
I can't believe you couldn't think of Tiamat.
I know it. It's one of those weeks, man.
Unsubscribe, people.
I'm going to straight up just turn off my internet. I don't deserve to be on here.
It's the Tyranny of Dragons. Talks about, it says the return of Tiamat levels 1 to 15.
Yeah, I knew so, it was all around him.
Okay. So it looks like it is kind of a campaign book. I thought it was more of a lore type book.
Oh. Well, I think they put a lot of both, dragon lore. Yeah, it's both. Yeah, because they put a lot of dragon lore in there because you have to know a lot of dragon lore in order to do anything with Tiamat. I mean, unless you just want outright die, I suppose. Yeah.
So here's my question. Do you think they're just doing the same thing as that book? They're just calling it a different name. Are we going down the path of D&D's just becoming a moneymaker, where Wizards of the Coast is releasing the same exact type of books that they have in the past, just the 2024 edition?
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think at least for this book, I think this book is going to be different. Just because
I think it's going to be similar.
Here's why I think that is because for the Tiamat's book, I think they are going to re-release the Tiamat's book. That's why I think this one's different, because I feel like any book that's going to have like a major villain tie to it will get re-released in its own campaign again. I really do think they'll just recash out, you know.
Interesting.
Oh, we'll drop it again. But I think this one's trying to be more of a standalone anthology with the dragons. But I think I 100%, we write it down. I think they absolutely will drop a Tiamat book again. I think they'll go through all of them. I think they'll do Strahd and everything eventually.
Which is going to, I don't know. That's going to be kind of annoying. I feel like
people are
going to not like it, and they're going to get a lot of backlash after the first like 2 books that they do that with.
Yeah.
And but they continue it, or they might just say, hey, people don't want this, let's do something else.
Yeah. I mean, the smart thing would be like to test the waters and just ask the community, because the community is already, you know, loud and out there anyways.
For sure.
Just how big everything is. But I feel like Wizards of the Coast is very good about not listening to the community most of the time. So they're probably going to print the book just to try to make what money they can, and then feel if there'll be a backlash or not, which I feel like I agree with you 100%. I feel like there will be a backlash for being like, oh, we're recycling content. Let's move on to the new stuff, please, kind of thing.
See, I think I disagree with you. I don't think they're going to re-release Curse of Strahd, Wild Beyond the Witchlight, Phandelver. Yeah. I don't think they are, because they said that the 2024 DM's Guide, Player's Handbook, Dungeon, or Monster Manual, those are all, you can use those rules with previous adventures.
Oh, okay. They're like backwards compatible.
Yes, that's the old version. Yeah. They're backwards compatible. So if that's the case, then they wouldn't need to release all these new books that are the same books. Do you know what I'm saying?
True. I mean, I agree with you, but I mean, they're already going to re-release Eberron, which we already have.
Correct, but that's not a campaign book.
Well,
which I mean, we'll get into that one here in a second.
Yeah, all right.
You're jumping ahead on this list.
Yeah, I know.
I see your point, though.
I would 1,000% like for them to go the direction you're thinking they're going to go. I would. I'd rather just be like, oh yeah, this stuff works with the old stuff, so we're just going to pump out new content, which I think Dragon Delves is a testament to them bringing out new content, going a little bit more into the dragons, giving you these delves, these mini story campaign runs. I think that's all fresh, and that's a cool idea. But you're saying, does it tie into the other book? I don't think it does, which I'm glad it doesn't. But I think their history screams that they will try to redo the most popular stuff because they think they'll make the most money out of it.
Yeah.
And that's probably the cynical attitude. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's definitely the like I said, the pessimistic way to look at it, but hopefully they don't. Hopefully they keep trying to do new stuff. Of course. Yeah. That's what we want, right? Like I said, I'm excited to see new books, new content, fresh stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Granted, we say all this, they end up producing the same exact books, and I'm still going to buy them because I'm an addict.
Right. Yeah. Honestly, where exactly? I mean, 40K does it to us too. Every time they bring out a new set of rules, which now they do every couple of years, which used to be like every like 5 to 10 years. Now it's every like two. They re-release all the books under the new rules. And guess what? I complain and I bitch about it, but I own every single book.
Yeah.
So I'm literally the audience that's buying it, that's encouraging them to do it. But I'm also the ones going out there and complaining and wishes they would stop. So
it's, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's exciting. New books are always fun and exciting.
100%.
Especially when it's dragons, because everyone loves dragons. And I feel that a lot of people might have used dragons in their campaigns already.
Sure.
We have not, though.
Yeah, nothing.
I've really played an adventure or run one where the main villain was a dragon.
Yeah.
You might be able to fight one here and there, but never as a main villain. And I feel like that's what this book might do.
Sure. Like a boss battle at the end of a delve. Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than, oh, we found this cave and oh, it's a dragon's den. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they come out with. So Dragon Delves, July 8th, 2025, as of now. Yeah. The next one on this list of five, the second one. Now we can get into your Eberron.
Then I have to wait for August 4, which is unbelievable. Come on.
August 19th, 2025, Eberron, Forge of the Artificer. And this is where we had talked about Unearthed Arcana before.
Yeah.
And this is where they were testing the Artificer out in there. So that way they can put it in this book to see what changes they need to make it compatible with what they already have.
Which makes sense. Yeah.
But this is super exciting for you, obviously.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Because you love the Artificer.
Yeah, without a doubt.
This is where I see your point of them just re-releasing the same books. However, this isn't really a campaign book. This is more of a companion book. as this article describes. It's going to, sounds like it's going to look at the different parts of Eberron that wasn't explored in the previous rulebook. Mm-hmm. It's going to include backgrounds, new bastion options that are tied to Eberron, expanded rules for airships, changes, evolutions of Eberron lore. Notably, the dragon marked houses are no longer. I'm just going to skip this whole section. I don't know the book that well.
Well, it's cool because like Eberron was neat because it was a giant campaign. It was a new world, a battle torn world. It brought in a new race, obviously artificers, all the house stuff. They brought in so much, which was really cool. And you're right. I mean, this is definitely going to be, this is like an expansion to that, which is neat. So it's Eberron like part two, like the add-on, the DLC. Yeah. It is a lot of the same, and it kind of is, but it's like, it's adding on to. So if you really like Eberron, which I did, if you really like the world they built and the story that's in there, they're even expanding the lore and stuff in it, which is really nice. And like you said, it's not just another campaign. It's just, hey, here's a different twist on everything. And obviously Artificer being one of the main points to that. I love that for this a lot, but I wonder if that's a pattern of stuff we'll see in the future. Not looking at the rest of the books on the list yet. I'm speculating out loud here. If they're going to try to do more of a, well, maybe we won't do Strahd, a new Strahd, but what if we did like Return of Strahd?
Yeah.
What if there's a go back to
like Strahd part two? You didn't actually kill him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe in his plane, you know, he works differently and he gets rebirthed and whatever, you know, or something.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if like that'll be their new. Yeah. Instead of like a rehash, we'll just do like an expansion. Like, you know, the very famous D&D storyline campaigns that everyone's loved over the years. We'll just do like a return to.
I feel like that would get so much backlash too, though.
Oh, it's kind of one of those things where I feel like unless they're doing like, and again, there probably is a giant crowd that would disagree with me on this, but I feel like unless they're doing like absolutely fresh stuff,
correct,
they're going to get backlash. Like, unless it's just brand spanking new, break away from all the stuff we've had since the 80s, they're going to get backlash.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, quote unquote, same old, right? I mean, Warhammer gets the exact same treatment. So we'll see, man. I'm excited, though. Even these two books on this list, though, there's enough of a unique difference between the Delves and obviously Eberron, even though I'm an Artificer fanboy, that I would absolutely pick these up just because they are different than any other D&D book I have on the shelf. It's not just a, oh, because we released brand new rules kind of a book. There's actually expanding the lore and the story and the art, which I appreciate.
I feel that, jumping back to the Dragon Delves, that's going to have a style more of Keys to the Golden Vault, where it's a book of like 10 one-shots, basically.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's going to be that, plus a little more to it.
Yeah.
So not so bland as that book was of just like these one-shot adventures you can do, but more things behind it. I feel like that's going to have that type of a style. And this one, it sounds like it's going to have, it even says this in the article, that at one point it was just this book, Eberron, Forge of the Artificer, was described as Xanathar's Guide to Everything book.
Yeah.
Which was a book of, here's some tables that you can roll on. Here's a couple additional monsters, races, spells, those gear, types of things. Yeah,
and that also reprinted the Artificer in it as well, because I have both. You had two books that then already had repeating content in it between Eberron, the original Eberron, and then her book to everything. God, you just said it and I already blanked out.
Xanathar's Guide to Everything.
Yeah, but there was already repeating content in two different books, and hopefully if they kind of do the Guide to Everything, like, already mashed into this book with its own Eberron lore and world and everything else, that would be so much better already. That's already, like, more compact, less money you have to spend, less books that I have to carry around per campaign.
Yeah, it says that the book will also have a different page count and price point than a typical D&D rules book, but no further details are given. I don't know if that means it's going to be more pages, less pages, cheaper, more expensive. I don't know. I feel if I had to guess, it would almost be more pages
mm-hmm.
based off of what they did with the new 2024 rule books, because those ones are already thicker than the previous ones.
Hey, look, this is just a rehash of 120 pages. It's actually more content, which is what everybody wants. That's just what everyone, we mm-hmm. want more content. Like, we're not arguing we don't want them to bring out stuff. We're just arguing that they're reusing stuff.
Yeah, it says that the Eberron book won't include a full campaign in it. There are three mm-hmm. chapters presented as campaign options.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, sample adventures. Oh, they actually give titles for the three chapters. One is called Sharn Inquisitives. One's called Dragonmark Intrigue. And the last one is Moorgrave Expeditions. Yeah, they're really leaning into designing these books, it sounds like, at least from the first two that we've looked at here, to use the methods that they used, that they explain in the DM's Guide, the 2024 version.
Yeah, which I haven't read, but I know you have.
I have not read it. I haven't.
Oh,
I don't think I'll ever fully read it.
But, yeah.
But go to the pages that I need to use. I mean, of course, there's somebody out there that has read it cover to cover, but most people 100%. Don't.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I love the artwork for the article for this book. It's literally all the subclasses of the artificer standing there. The battlesmith, the alchemist, the armorer, which looks amazing. Because the old armor stuff from the books was just like plate mail with enchants on it, which is how nobody imagines it. Everyone thinks it more like Iron Man. And that looks way
that
more
looks like Iron Man. Yeah.
Iron Man. 100%. Yeah, exactly. That would be the grenadier, but he looks very, very calm and put together. And then the gunner at the end, which is so cool. The gunner has more of like a spelljammer. Gatling gun almost. Yeah. Like, it seems more sci-fi ethereal than steampunk. I love that. That's really cool.
It's funny. I have the original Eberron book, but I don't think I've ever actually read it or gone through it.
Oh yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I had it, so I had the artificer class in case any yep. of my players wanted, for instance, you wanted to use it. I had it as a reference. But I've never done yep. a campaign in Eberron before. Which
I think that would be
with
cool.
us doing Spelljammer as our next campaign once Strahd's done. If you guys are going to be flying around in space, landing on different worlds, it's going to be fun to be able to have bits and pieces of all these different locations like Eberron, maybe the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
You know, just different places that
yeah,
you can visit
absolutely.
To see if it's a campaign that we would enjoy running in the future. Like, oh, we really enjoyed that planet that was
yeah.
based off of Eberron, or that planet that was based off of, I think, of the Myconoids from Baldur's Gate when you're
oh, yeah.
with all the, like, the mushrooms and
yeah.
the fungal bright lights type of a thing.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That would be super cool too. Well, yeah, I mean, like, besides the artificer, which, like you said, it's the reason why I bought the book too. It also had the, before autonomes, well, before I knew about autonomes, let me put it that way, from Spelljammers, which came out first, they had, you know, the, what are they called? Battleborn? The full robot race?
Autonomes?
That specifically come from, no, the other race that comes from Eberron. Oh, we're going to have to pause and look it up now. I've said too much and too little at the same time.
Changelings, Kalishtar, Shifters, and Warforged.
Warforged. That's it. Warforged. I knew it was something like that, some wording like that. Yeah, they're the full robot race from Eberron. And they were that was the one I came up with a side character idea for Strahd in case my character died for it. But I also think, depending on what our party is, it might be a cool one is to do the Warforged, maybe like a machine god worshipping zealot, and do like a berserker or an armor or something. That'd be like a cool frontline. Or you could even do a cleric and have him hyper religious towards machinery. Anyways, well, that was another reason why I bought the book, was because I thought that was a cool race that they threw in there.
Well, for sure, end up buying it just so that way I can have it on, even if it's just the PDF version on D&D Beyond,
yeah.
so we can create our characters with it easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eberron Forge the Artificer, August 19th, 2025.
too long. They need to bring that out faster.
Right? It's the like the closest one on this list is July 8th.
Yeah. Oof.
And then it looks like it's a month, like July, August, and then the third one's September, November, and then November again. I feel like that's a weird release schedule.
Yeah.
I guess they want people to get familiar with the new rule books first.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
The next one on the list is the new starter set that they're coming out with. It's called Heroes of the Borderland Starter Set. It's releasing on September 16th, 2025. And it's going to return adventurers to the Keep in the Borderlands. I've never heard of that before. I literally just Googled it. And it looks like Gary Gygax, the founder of D&D, he looks like he first printed the Keep on the Borderlands in 1979.
Wow.
So this is jumping way back in time.
Cool.
To something that most people nowadays don't even realize that this is going to be jumping back in time.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it sounds like the physical starter set is going to contain several new innovations to make playing D&D easier for beginners. And the most notable one that they have that the article points out is a set of tiles that players can mix and match to create new characters. And it's described as the quickest character creation system ever for new players, short of giving them, you know, a pre-generated character.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Like, are the tiles going to be for race, class, weapons, modifiers? Like, I wonder how that tile system will work. Or is it just going to be, here's your race, here's your class, go. Something
yeah, I feel like,
simple as that.
Yeah, I think it is. I think my thought would be it'd probably be the simple one, like one's for your race, one's for what your class is.
Your alignment.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Like you probably have, it's almost like rolling a dice without rolling a dice. They probably like flip them through. You can probably like draw them or something. This adventure, I'm a dwarf ranger. Off you go, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know. I usually don't buy starter sets anymore. I bought the Phandelver one when I first started playing, and I ran that with my other group of friends. Ever since then, I haven't gotten a starter set. I know enough about D&D where I don't need it now. However, you could still buy it if you want it just for the adventure itself. I mean, look at Phandelver. They made a second Phandelver book. Phandelver, like Below the Shattered Obelisk or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, like, in high school, that was my first experience with D&D was me and a buddy, we split the cost, and we bought a starter set for D&D, and then my dad DM'd it for us. Like, we both, like, made characters, then dad, and it was like, I mean, it was a one-shot. It was literally one shot he put together that he got from the starter set, and then, yeah, from that is how I got my books. So then I joined another campaign that it was much longer than one shot, but it didn't go like for a year or anything. It was pretty short, but that was my first experience with D&D was a starter set. So it makes sense that they would update it and try to bring in a new generation with them. I mean, that's cool.
For sure. Yeah. It also says that the starter set will include support for having multiple DMs run the campaign.
Oh, interesting.
Right. I feel like it would almost be good to buy it just to see how they do that. Or just watch a bunch of YouTube videos of people that buy it and having them explain it to you.
Yeah, 100%.
But that's interesting, being able to have multiple DMs run the same campaign. But it sounds like the same campaign for what you're playing, not the same campaign multiple times in a row.
Right.
I mean, you can do that with any set. So that I'm curious how they would do that.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a cool idea.
Because you would have to play different, if you're playing different characters, you would have to somehow, your character is no longer at the session for this one because I'm DMing and you're not. Or is it a collaborative storytelling where you all are DMing at the same time? I've heard of groups that do stuff like that.
Huh, interesting.
I've never seen it done before, so I don't know how it works, but I've heard of people that they don't have a DM at the table and they play and they say, okay, I want to do this. What do you guys think, you know, how this would work? And I don't know how they do it. Maybe they decide together for the DCs for things. And then they just come up with their own story as they play. Like, for instance, I'm playing Rogue. I'm going to go to the jail and see if there's anybody there that I can free. And we're going to say that there is. And he's a really bad guy. And now he becomes, you know, my trainer or something. And they kind of just role play off of each other. It is what it sounded like. That's a different tangent in itself. I don't know. I don't know how they'll have multiple DMs run the campaign, but maybe it's something similar to that style for those of you out there that play that kind of style. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be really cool. That'd be really cool to see how they would do that and kind of make like a, because this is meant for beginners too. So it's like, it'd be cool to do that without it being complicated or confusing for new players and be like, oh yeah, you guys could run this together. Like, that would be cool. Yeah, I would like to see how that they break that down. That'd be neat.
Yeah. Heroes of the Borderlands starter set, release date September 16th, 2025. The last two are similar to each other. It's called the Forgotten Realms Player's Guide, and then there's the Forgotten Realms Adventure Guide. They both release on November 11th of 2025, and it looks like the Player's Guide is going to feature new backgrounds, feats. There's 8 new subclasses. Instead of rehashing existing subclasses, at least some of the subclasses are going to be inspired by different parts of the Forgotten Realms. For example, the Bard subclass is inspired by the Moonshae Isles, while the Genie-themed Paladin is focused on Kalimshan. That's what this article says. So they have 8 different subclasses that they're going to be coming out with. There's a Bard, a Cleric, Fighter, Paladin, Ranger, Rogue, Sorcerer, and Wizard. So one for almost every class. The Bard gets the College of the Moon. The Cleric is the Knowledge Domain. The Fighter is the Purple Dragon Knight. The Paladin is the Oath of the Noble Genies. The Ranger is the Winter Walker. The Rogue is the Scion of the Three. The Sorcerer is the Spellfire Sorcery, and the Wizard is the Blade Singer.
I mean, they all sound cool.
Right. I want to say the Fighter one. I've heard the Purple Dragon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that one in a recent video that I watched on YouTube. What I remember, if this is correct, is the Purple Dragon Knight. It sounds like you get a dragon companion. And as you level up, the dragon levels up as well. So by the time you get to, let's say, level 10, when the dragon gets to level 10 with you, you can ride the dragon. Like, it can fly and you can sit on its back. That's cool. Is one of the features it has, I believe. And if that's the case, I am totally going to be a Purple Dragon Knight fighter the first chance I get. Because my first character I played was a warlock. And I think it was the Fiend subclass, but it was the one where it's the same one I played for Baldur's Gate.
Oh, okay.
Where I got to have an imp as a little companion type thing, but he didn't get to do much. He was just kind of there.
Yeah.
For my warlock that I did in the first campaign that I was actually a player in, I had a pseudo dragon because I wanted to have a pet dragon. Because doesn't? And that was one of the main reasons why I chose Warlock, was because I could have that.
That is so cool.
And so to see them coming out with a Purple Dragon Knight in the Fighter class, that just sounds amazing.
Yeah, it does.
And then let's see what other ones. College of the Moon. This seems very druidic almost.
Yeah.
I know there's a video out there that talked about these, now that I think of it, because I remember them talking about this one too. And I might have been on the actual D&D page.
Oh, then giving little previews of each one. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't remember, or it could have just been a random person I found on YouTube. But I remember the Purple Dragon Knight being talked about, the College of the Moon being talked about. Hmm. It was one of those videos where I'm trying to find a video on something and I can't find it. So I click on this one and I'm like, okay, what's this one about? Oh, yeah, this isn't really what I'm pertaining to, but I'm walking the dog and it's just noise in my ears. And I hear certain words. I'm like, what were they talking about again?
You kind of go down the rabbit hole a little bit where you kind of get interested in something new. But, like you said, you're obviously still doing something else too. So you only end up being
You have no idea what they're actually talking about.
Yeah, I think I've heard of this. This sounds kind of neat, but you like really weren't looking for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard a lot of people complained about the new fighter in the 2024.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like it, I think. And which is funny because my next character I was thinking about playing was going to be a fighter. And then all these people are saying bad things. Like, oh, well, okay, I guess I don't want to play a fighter. Like, stop influencing me, you influencers.
That's right. Hey, man, if you didn't know the changes they made, then you may not be bothered by them at all. Exactly,
that's true. And if I do get to become a player someday, I will 100% play the Purple Dragon Knight. I get to play it in a campaign. Because it just sounds amazing.
It does sound amazing.
That's the player's guide. And then there's going to be an adventure guide. So it sounds like instead of having one book where you have an adventure in it and they smush together, you know, a little bit of a player's guide in there, they're separating them to where it sounds like it's going to be there. I would assume that the only reason that they would do that is because they want these books to be bigger. And having them together would be too big of a book.
Yeah, which that's just what I was thinking too.
Which is a good thing, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because like especially like in this adventures guide, they talk about, you know, all the different like major cities and like they're really going to dive into each one. So that means like instead of like just having like a couple of pages in like you were saying, like in a major guide, they're going to have an actual like chapter for each city, including a ton of artwork, which again, I absolutely love the idea of that. Like, that's so cool that they would actually have enough room in a book to instead of just like, you know, a section getting like a small piece of art, it actually gets a full on dedicated section to art, which I think is great personally.
Yeah, the Forgotten Realms Adventure Guide. It says it'll contain deep dives on 5 different parts of the Forgotten Realms. They include the Moonshae Isles, Icewind Dale, the Dale Lands, Calamishan, and Baldur's Gate, of course, because of Baldur's Gate 3. Getting people interested in that because people know about the Forgotten Realms and like the areas around it. You know of Phandalver because of the campaign that was run there. You know of Icewind Dale because of the campaign book that they have for that. And it sounds like they want to expand on some of these places that we haven't visited or that we have visited, which is super cool because it's going to give us more detail about the world itself.
Absolutely.
Rather than these vague places. It's interesting because the Dungeon Master Guide that they came out with for 2024, that campaign setting that they use is Greyhawk, which is one of the original campaign settings of D&D.
Oh,
and so it's
okay.
Interesting that they put that in there, but then they're creating this Forgotten Realms Adventure Guide going back into the Forgotten Realms instead of a Greyhawk Adventure Guide. I wonder if that's on the back burner for them.
Yeah, maybe it is. Because like you said, I mean, like the major ones they've listed here obviously are very like popular cities. I mean, obviously, like you said, Baldur's Gate 3 is obviously a huge one they just did. But I mean, you know, Icewind Dale, you talked about the campaign. Icewind Dale has a huge video game legacy of itself.
Does it
Icewind
really?
Dale games. Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Icewind Dale, Neverwinter Nights. I mean, those are all giant D&D video games, old video games. Unlike Baldur's Gate 3, I don't think they've had an updated released
that's
version
probably why
of
I haven't
one.
Learned of it because I'm not as old as you, you know.
How dare you, sir? Respect your elders. I feel like maybe they're trying to go back and be like, hey, well, these are like, quote unquote, mainstream cities that people know about. I mean, even being included in the movies. So let's flush them out, give people more ideas and juice so they keep using these locations. And that just helps them in the long run, too. So the more stuff they bring out, like I was saying, video games, movies, they drop these names, you know, Moonshae Isles. People are like, oh, I know that. We did a campaign on that or whatever. Or it makes sense to go back to Forgotten Realms because I think they're just more popular in general than some of the other ones, I would assume. I mean, I don't have like a pie chart in front of me or anything, but I would guess. Plus, it's nice because then you don't have to go out and like hunt for special like novels and stuff, which I like too, don't get me wrong, but I can just like I have like a guide on my bookshelf of these major cities that get brought up in lore constantly, and I didn't have to read like a 200-page novel of a character going through their adventure through one. Like, it just tells me what the city is and maybe its beginnings and stuff. Like, that would be really cool.
Yeah, it sounds like they want to touch on new developments for these cities, particularly where the fifth edition hasn't touched on before.
Yeah.
So a lot more deep dives into them. And they're also going to have a short adventure for the DM to run for each of these areas to help launch a campaign. So it's not going to be a full-fledged campaign, but it's, mm-hmm. sounds like it's going to be maybe levels 1 to 3, and they leave you on a cliffhanger for you to determine the outcome.
Yeah, it's cool. There seems to be a running theme with these. They're just trying to give you an idea to get you started.
Yes.
Like, you know, because they'll always have campaign books, of course, but it seems like between like Dragon Delves, even the Eberron was going to be like, hey, here's ideas in Eberron for you to start an adventure. So it seems like they're trying to do more of like encouraging you to make your own instead of just simply relying on a campaign book, which is really
cool. Like that.
I feel like that's where most people go. Yeah.
I like that. I love this. Before you get Eberron and all these books and you have to come up with an adventure plot point yourself, they might give you like a table to roll on. I don't know. I've never read every book all throughout.
Right. So
maybe they have something in there or not, but I've never heard anybody talk about it.
Yeah.
And having released books that will give you a starting point is, I think it'll help a lot of people out, because that's where a lot of people struggle, is I just can't think of where to start.
Yeah.
Everyone just starts in a tavern then.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Which works. You will not be doing for Spelljammer. I refuse to do it. I've thought about for Spelljammer, sitting down with each of whoever ends up being part of our campaign, sitting down with each of you individually on how you get to the starting point.
Yeah.
To have like a mini 2-hour session with you.
Yeah.
Where like you're actually playing the campaign, but you're by yourself until you meet the rest of the party.
For Mighty Nein.
Yeah.
That's how Matt Mercer did it, was he took each character and he ran them through a little mini scenario, basically of the night before they all meet at the inn. The next morning.
I feel so like when you started I missed off, that.
Yeah, well.
Did they air that?
I don't know if they actually aired it, but they talked about it.
Okay.
Because in the first episode, they all started and they all already had something was going on. Sam and Liam O'Brien were sitting there and their characters already knew each other.
Yeah.
And they were going on about the night before and like how they escaped and all this other stuff. And that was the scenario that they did, was that their characters actually went through this. They're supposed to work at a harbor and they decided to steal from them and yada, yada, yada. Now they're on the run and here they are the next door in the inn. And that was a whole thing that they did together. Same with the rest of them, like at the circus going around. They already knew each other. They ran into each other, that kind of stuff. So yeah, man, like I think if you were to do that, that's a great idea. It's a really cool way to get into your character and kind of get started before you become like part of the group, you know?
Yeah, out of the rabbit hole and back into the woods. That's honestly about it, I think, for the five books, The Forgotten Realms Player's Guide and Forgotten Realms Adventure Guide, November 11th, 2025 release date. And then you got that new starter set. You got the Dragon Delves book and the new Eberron book. And I think that's the five books that they'll release for the year. So it's exciting. Yeah, looking forward to all of that, to the changes that they're going to make and what they're going to do with that.
Absolutely. I agree. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's cool to have some new D&D stuff to look forward to in the coming months.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Is there any last thoughts you wanted to add before we get out of here?
You know, if anybody at Wizard Coast listens to this, you can drop that Eberron book sooner. We won't be upset. I think everybody would appreciate it.
Just put it in your mailbox ahead of time.
Right. I'll look over it and I'll give you my thoughts. You know, that'd be okay. I don't mind writing up something for you.
I'll take the Dragon Delve one then.
Okay. That's all right. That sounds good. Yeah. We'll even collab over them if we need to.
That's right. Well, thanks for stopping by, everyone, and have safe travels as you adventure forth.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Not Just NPCs Podcast.